State Superintendent Tony Evers is calling on lawmakers to give school districts more than $50 million to improve school safety. Meanwhile, Governor Scott Walker, as Sean was just saying, said he'll release his school safety plans later this month. As the State Capitol report continues, let's bring in Dan Rossmiller. He's the Government Relations Director for the Wisconsin Association of School Boards. Dan, welcome to the program.
Well, good morning, Kate. Thank you for having me.
So how much work needs to be done to get Wisconsin schools as safe as they need to be? Do we have a long way to go here?
Well, I think from my standpoint, our school board members are extremely diligent and concerned about maintaining safe and healthy learning environments for the roughly 850,000 students who attend our public schools. Our schools have been very diligent through the years in adopting safety plans and revisiting them on a frequent basis. And in light of the recent tragedies that work has taken on a heightened importance.
Right. Yeah, I know. Our school just did its Code Red training, do it twice a year. Schools doing readiness training out there, Dan, do you see that?
They are very much doing readiness training, and it's an unfortunate sign of the times in which we live. But schools are not only doing those kinds of trainings to see what they can learn and improve their security and safety, but they're revisiting all kinds of things. They're revisiting their facilities, security within the building, how they handle threats and concerns that are raised by students, and looking at how they can improve their counseling services.
Well, your kitty cat is not agreeable to any of this type of work.
Sorry about that. Let me open a door here and let her on the porch.
You know, some duty calls, Dan Rossmiller. Sometimes you just got to do what you got to do because the cats rule in any case here. Well, Governor Scott Walker is planning to introduce his school safety proposal by March 20th. He told reporters last week that it will focus on making the buildings safe, which means boosting security and preventing guns from getting inside. Is this the right direction, do you think?
Well, it's certainly an important component of making schools safe. You know, there are a lot of things that we need to be doing. We need to be examining, for example, how do students feel included in the school community? How do students who feel threatened or concerned report those kinds of threats or concerns to the appropriate staff? And then have processes in place to make sure that the person who's interceding can do so as soon as possible to mitigate the threat or prevent it from happening. Unfortunately, a lot of the concern about schools has shifted to what I guess I would call active shooter or other kinds of threats like that, and certainly improving facilities to make it less likely that someone with a dangerous weapon can get into our schools is an important component of that. I think that as Sean indicated in your previous segment, there's a kind of a tension among lawmakers between the resources that they want to devote or that they believe should be devoted to school safety, between kind of one-time expenditures, things mm-hmm. like improving school facilities, controlling access, managing visitors, having more secure technology such as surveillance cameras, distress buttons, two-way radios, locks on internal school doors, things like that. And then as opposed to ongoing expenditures, which are, I think, would tend to be more in the in line with personnel, such mm-hmm. as school resource officers, additional mental health counseling and services, additional school counselors, things like that. Anything that involves personnel is going to be an ongoing commitment of money.
Well, let me ask you this way, Dan Rossmiller. does legislation need to be in place to ensure the processes are in place to keep schools safe each day? How much does politics need to get into this?
I think resources is an important component of this, and because school district revenue limits have been essentially frozen since the 2014-15 school year and will not increase in general, schools don't have any way to raise money locally. So that's why the decision about providing state resources becomes so important.
Mm. State Superintendent Tony Evers said in addition to beefing up security, he's asking for $50 million for prevention programs and mental health counselors. Is that an area in which school districts are currently lacking? What do you make of that proposal?
Well, in light of the Sandy Hook tragedy back in 2012, a number of different groups within the school community got together and had a safety conference, and school mental health was one of the critical needs that was identified at that time. Finding appropriate services for young people was seen as a priority for ensuring safe schools. We think that, based on survey results, probably one in five students has some will encounter or have some kind of mental health issue while they're in school, and probably about 80% of these students will not receive the services that they need to
80%
and thrive. Yes, and that's why the governor and lawmakers included for the first time state resources to provide mental health services in schools on a school-based mental health services to try to address this problem. Now, not every student that has mental health issues is going to act out in violent ways. Some of these issues are related to depression. It's an important concern.
Is it hard to figure out what dollar amount should be designated for additional mental health services?
Well, the governor has put forward, the state superintendent has put forward a proposal. I think the question in this area is how do you provide enough that you're ensuring that as many districts as possible can provide these services? If you do too little, you're leaving some people out.
Mm-hmm.
So these are important discussions that need to be had, important resources.
You're with us on the State Capitol Report as we discuss school safety legislation. Dan Rossmiller is breaking it down for us. He is the Government Relations Director for the Wisconsin Association of School Boards. Gathering your input, 800-642-1234. What school safety measures do you want lawmakers to implement? What do you think of Superintendent Tony Evers' plan to spend $50 million on prevention program and mental health counselors? Should armed guards be part of the solution? Call in or email ideas at WPR.org. We'll get back to the discussion after a news update here on the Ideas Network. In the wake of the Parkland, Florida school shooting, GOP lawmakers in Wisconsin are considering offering state money to help schools pay for safety upgrades. Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald said he's looking at legislation to make improvements to school buildings more affordable. We're talking school safety on the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Dan Rossmiller stays with us. He's the Government Relations Director for the Wisconsin Association of School Boards, and you can join in the conversation. What school safety measures do you want lawmakers to implement? What do you think of a plan to spend $50 million on prevention programs and mental health counselors? Should the governor rethink his position on arming teachers? 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Let's go to Mark in Berlin. Hi, Mark.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Dr. Mark Moore. I'm an emergency physician in Berlin, Wisconsin. I've become recently quite upset and incensed about the ongoing slaughter of our innocent children in schools nationwide. And I see the issues of mental health and gun control as issues which certainly have their place, but unfortunately, because of legislative things and other rules, they're being dragged on and on. We need a more urgent, even emergent solution to the issue. It's obvious that we spend billions of dollars internationally in foreign aid and other assistance, which may or may not be appropriate in some cases. But I think some of that money could be diverted to an agency such as Homeland Security and even filtered on down to the state, county, and local level to help with this issue immediately. What I'm proposing is similar to what's already in place at the federal, state, county, and even local sites, and also at the Green Bay Packers Stadium, the Badger Stadium, and also when you try to get on an airplane, a commercial airliner today, is to implement a TSA-like security system with metal detectors and search at the entrance to the schools. Also, a TSA agent or local police or whatever would be in place to search all backpacks. One of the issues with backpacks is that recently, of course, some firearms have been found in the schools. Obviously, these walk-in in backpacks, whether backpacks are even needed because books can be duplicated online now, and a student could even have copies of the books at home in school and not even need it, have a backpack.
Well, Marika,
the other issue, which is sort of controversial, but my daughter is a school teacher and has noted that cell phones have become increasingly annoyance in classrooms, and perhaps eliminating them except in the hands of teachers and other administration would be appropriate. That's a controversial issue because of Amendment 1 and all that. But
well, let's get Dan to jump in here. First of all, on metal detectors and TSA-like security at the entrance to schools. Dan, what do you see in that?
Well, I think that's certainly one approach. It's an approach that's clearly designed to keep dangerous weapons out of our schools, which is a positive thing. We've kind of taken a two-pronged approach. We've looked at intervention and prevention methods, and we've talked to the governor and lawmakers about providing some resources for that. We've also talked to lawmakers about providing resources for more secure facilities, and that would include certainly, in some cases, metal detectors, video surveillance.
And there are metal detectors in some schools right now, are there not?
There are. I believe many Milwaukee schools have metal detectors. So, yes, there are. We're looking at secured entrances, maybe some more secure architectural designs, adding interior door locks, adding emergency exits, reporting systems, apps that teachers and staff could have on their phones so that they could communicate in the event of a crisis situation, alert systems. This is certainly a problem that can be addressed through facilities improvements and by measures like the caller suggested. But it's also a people problem. I think we need to do a better job with students who are disaffected, who are not feeling a part of the school community. It tends not to be our students who are engaged. It's not our honor students. It's not our students who participate on our athletic teams and our other school extracurricular activities so much. It's kids that very often feel bullied and have become angry and depressed, and there are a variety of social, familial, and psychological factors that enter into this. The problem is we don't have an accurate means of determining which of those students who may fit into that pattern are actually going to carry out some kind of
right.
a tragedy.
Let's bring in Sarah now in Zion, Illinois, who is a teacher. Sarah, go ahead.
Okay, thank you so much. I am a teacher, and I used to think arming a teacher was just a crazy idea, but then I started thinking, well, yeah, if a shooting was happening in my classroom, it would be great if I could pull out a gun and stop it. But then I started imagining what it would be like to have a gun in a classroom, and my conclusion is that with no matter how much training that they gave me, if I had a gun on me in my classroom, I would feel like a security guard all the time, and I would be on alert all the time, and I wouldn't be the teacher that I am. I couldn't do what I do right now, and I would have to stop teaching. And I don't think that's what kids need in the classroom as a teacher, is someone who's feeling like a security guard and is going to have that mentality. And also, I think there could be accidents. I mean, gun accidents are really common. I think a kid could conceivably try to get my gun. I work in a district where occasionally kids are a little bit aggressive toward teachers, and I could really see how a teacher would overreact and shoot a kid who didn't need to be shot.
Oh, Sarah, thank you so much for calling in with your perspective. So important. Dan, go ahead.
Well, I think from our perspective of our association, we have resolutions that our members have adopted, and they certainly tend to prefer that if there are security measures like that taken, that the firearms are in the hands of either current or former law enforcement officers who've had many, many hours of training, who are familiar with how to handle themselves in those situations, may have been in those difficult situations, are also skilled in the art of conflict de-escalation.
But would we see an exodus of teachers, do you think? Sarah said, I couldn't be a teacher anymore if I had to be armed in the classroom.
Well, I think any discussion of this has to be on a case-by-case, local basis. What may be appropriate for one district may not be appropriate for another. One of the concerns among some of our rural schools is that law enforcement isn't necessarily close by, readily available. So I think those are the districts that would be more apt to be considering something like that. But there are a whole host of issues involved here, and no matter how much training someone has, how they will react in that sort of emergency situation always remains to be seen. We saw in the Parkland, Florida shooting incident that a trained security officer perhaps didn't respond the way we would have wanted that person to respond. And I think when you start talking about empowering teachers or authorizing them to potentially use deadly force, that changes the whole dynamic of being a teacher. So I think there are many, many aspects to this. I think first and foremost it needs to be, if we're going to have those discussions, it needs to be teachers who are willing to accept that responsibility and not put on every teacher potentially.
But let's bring in Peter in Madison very quickly. Peter, go ahead.
Hi there.
Hi.
I'm wondering, there's always so much conversation about arming teachers now, and I agree with the previous caller who's a teacher. I'm also a teacher, and it's outside the scope of what our children expect from the teacher, but that's beside the point. What I think is the most important thing to remember is that mental health is the most underrepresented aspect of healthcare in our entire country. And specifically to those children of color, youth that are coming from disenfranchised areas where they have troubled home lives. And, we're talking about spending, millions and millions of dollars, but there's a pretty obvious issue here, and it's happening all over the country, and that's mental health.
Peter, thank you so much for the call. And how big of an issue do you see, Dan, mental health as part of this conversation?
Well, I think it's a big part of the conversation, and whatever resources are provided to help schools help
their students with mental health issues would improve learning opportunities for all students. It would improve the school environment, the culture and climate. There's another issue having to do with guns, and that is teen suicide, and hopefully addressing some of the issues of students who are depressed and who are going to turn that anger inward is another part of the equation.
Well, and as we start to wrap up here, how hopeful are you that lawmakers will be able to agree on a package that will adequately do the job when it comes to school safety?
Well, arguably, you know, at the one end, there's an endless amount of identified needs, and on the other end, there's what's realistic to put forward given our current budget situation and the various political concerns about property taxes and state resources. I'm confident. I think right now where the governor and lawmakers are at is that they have a difference of opinion about the amount of resources that should be dedicated to this and whether it should be done on an ongoing basis or whether the more immediate need is for facilities improvements and kind of one-time expenditures.
Dan, thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Dan Rossmiller is Government Relations Director for the Wisconsin Association of School Boards. Earlier, we were talking with WPR State Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson. This edition of the State Capitol Report was produced by Bill Martins and Nyasia Ellison. Michael Deringer is on technical production. Michelle Johnson is executive producer. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and you're listening to the State Capitol Report right here on the Ideas Network.